Welcome to The Doctor Diaries, a podcast which will take you behind the scenes of the intriguing medical world. Join me, Hanya Rothersby, an experienced business consultant in the medical sphere, as I chat to our guests who will take us through their insights, experiences and ideas as an expert, thought leader and trailblazer in this exciting medical world. Welcome to the Doctor Diaries podcast. Today we have the absolute pleasure of speaking to Anita East. Anita is the CEO of Anita East MediSpa, a clinic specializing in non-surgical cosmetic medicine. As a nurse practitioner, Anita has performed many aesthetic treatments on people around the world. She loves to write. She holds a Bachelor of Science, a MA in acting, which we'll explore today, a full-time mother and a businesswoman. And welcome, Anita.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Hanya. That's a beautiful introduction.
Well, I thought I won't go too much into the introduction. I'll hand over to you. I would love to know more about you. You're such an inspirational woman. I've met you in the past and I've read your bio and all the things that you do. So there's many facets to you. So please tell us how you got to where you are today. Where did the journey begin?
Oh, golly. Wow, that's an interesting question because at the moment I'm writing my presentations for the non-surgical symposium that is happening in a few days' time.
Yes, so, I'll see you there, actually.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see you in person. Yeah. It's interesting because one of the talks that I'm giving talks about, how I originally got into aesthetic medicine, if you like. And it's quite an interesting story because it's the catalyst. My catalyst was actually being a budding actor and having just finished drama school. I went to Central School of Speech and Drama in London and I just graduated as an actor and got my first feature film role, which was so exciting.
Which one?
I don't reveal that because then that would reveal the person that...
Oh, okay, got it.
That's okay. But the catalyst for me getting into aesthetic medicine was basically it happened on that film because on the first day of the film shoot, the lead actress turned up with a completely frozen and expressionless face and brand new plumped up lips. And I happened to be sat in the makeup department having my hair and makeup done ready for my scenes. And the director stormed in and he spoke to the head makeup artist and he said, and he was furious. He was beside himself and he was like, what on earth are we going to do? We can't possibly, how is she going to portray the story of her character? How is she going to portray the story of the film, given that A, she can't move her face.
Wow.
And B, her face is now so distracting because of these new lips. Mm. So I was gutted. Because obviously, you know, that was the film likely to be a flop. And yes, it was because I'm not saying that it's purely because of the fact that, you know, our lead couldn't portray the story, but it certainly didn't get picked up by the producers that it was supposed to. Or that, you know, that we actually had producers on board and then they dropped it.
Oh.
And so that was the way I kind of said, and I'd already... So I just finished my MA in acting and I'd already done a Bachelor of Science. So I was a registered nurse. So I was like, right, that's it. I'd already started doing stuff in dermatology and I was like, that's it. Time to get into finding out why we're getting it so wrong.
Wow. And so tell me, what were your findings? So just give me a time in like a year when that was happening, because I've been in this industry, a non-clinical business person, but I've seen things evolve since in the last 20 something years. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Which period were you talking about when we had the
2004? This was in 2004.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened after that?
Well, so it was definitely the era where where the Kardashians were suddenly everywhere and they were, you know, something like injectables that we could never have anticipated having done ourselves. The Kardashians were taking us into, you know, from our living rooms, they were taking us into the clinics with them while they were having their injectables done. Mm. So suddenly it became a little bit more I don't know if I want to say acceptable, but possible. It became more possible that it was possible that we could find a clinic or a doctor that maybe we could have our lips done too. And as all things happen in life, you know, you open your eyes to something and then suddenly you start seeing it everywhere, don't you?
So true.
And I had this thought, had this experience on this film shoot, and I'd say probably about 2 months later, I went for dinner with a friend. And during the whole evening, I remember sitting there across from her. It was just the two of us. I remember sitting across from her and thinking, I've done something to upset her. I don't know what I've done, but she's really upset with me. She's not her normal self with me. And towards the end of the evening, I said, have I done something to upset you? Are you okay? And she said, no, I'm fine. And I said, it's just you seem really stoic, really contained. And she said, oh, no, I've just had my Botox done for the first time.
Oh, my God.
And she said, look, I can't frown. I can't smile. And I was like, boom, and there it is again.
Yes.
There it is again.
Oh, my gosh. And that's, do you know, Anita, I even look back at photos of myself in that time and what was being, you know, the look of the time. And it's only now that we've got a different attitude, which I'd love for you to go into, that you can look back at that and say, well, we've moved on from there. So tell me about that journey.
Yes. So basically I then started exploring the side of skin and the side of aesthetic medicine alongside doing my acting. So I did TV, film. I'm also a singer, so I was doing singing stuff and theatre stuff around the UK. So I was doing my creative stuff. So creative things are very important to me, being able to have that creative outlet.
Yeah.
But I also love biology and I love anatomy and I love, you know, medicine. So it was kind of about combining the two of them. So I suppose I started to explore how, again, around the idea of story and around the idea of appeal and what we consider beautiful, how cosmetic injectables and aesthetic medicine could be done in a manner that aided what was most beautiful about our face rather than detracted from what was most beautiful about our face.
Mm.
So I'm trying to think when I moved back to Australia, because I lived in the UK for 11 years, moved back to Australia, moved to Melbourne because even though I'm from Brisbane, I moved to Melbourne because Melbourne for me was certainly the place to go in terms of an acting. Mm. You know, it's a lot more happening in the acting arena. Yeah. I also worked as a TV presenter, so there was more happening in Melbourne. At that time, look, I want to say it was probably about 13 years ago, but I actually can't remember. Isn't that terrible? I've had two babies since then, so the brain's not.
that is all-consuming. I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I worked with I worked in skin again, in dermatology. I worked with a couple of dermatologists and then plastic surgeons and was doing injectables. And then looked more and more at this idea. And, you know, we gather information as we're going through life. And probably I've had my own practice now for about 9 years. And probably about, it was in 2020, I decided to release my book, which is just there.
Tell us about the book. Yes, I can see that now. People won't see the videos.
So no, sure thing.
The name of the book.
Yeah, so it's called Beautiful Unique Faces. And basically it's taking the reader into the treatment room and observing what I'm seeing on a daily basis. So I'm using story to educate the reader because it's all about story. Faces tell stories. We understand concepts more if they're told to us in a manner that's a story that excites us. And it's how all generations, you know, if we think about traditional generations and traditional landowners and so forth, it's how they educate their youth is through story. So I use story in my book to talk to the reader about how to get it right, essentially, especially in this day and age when we're told we can have anything we want. Anything.
Yes.
You know, we can have absolutely anything. There's no restriction. Back in 2004, we'd sit there and we'd watch the Kardashians and we'd go, oh, wow, she can go and have her lips done, or she can go and have her Botox done, or whatever it is. That's amazing. But I could never do that. But no. Now we can have anything we want, anything.
Yeah. And it's completely normalized in that sense. So it's just another thing you do. You've got your hair, you've got the this, you've got the that. And aesthetic treatments no longer are. No longer belong to the celebrity, or don't tell anybody I'm doing that. It's a completely different landscape. Totally agree.
Absolutely. And I think that in that instance, because, yeah, we're not talking about hair, we're not talking about nails, we're talking about a medicine. And so there is a way that too much of a good thing is always a bad thing.
Yeah.
And so we have become quite, as a society, quite gluttonous, especially post-COVID, in terms of, oh, my gosh, I want that, I want that, I want that. Looking for something to make us happy.
Yes.
And so my book really explores that idea in modern society today.
Fantastic. So is it aimed at the consumer or at the clinician?
Both. Both. Yeah. So it's interesting because I was at a conference very similar to probably the one that I'm about to attend in a few days' time. Probably about 6-7 years ago. And I saw at that point that we as practitioners had kind of lost the plot, in terms of we were just seeing every wrinkle and every bit of volume loss as the enemy. And how do we fix it? We were trying to apply a medical model to the human face. Yeah. And that we know doesn't work, because trying to perfect things in the human face makes it unattractive.
Yes. And that's probably been the problem, even from that actress there.
Yes.
And things were seen in isolation. So what do you feel now is the way that clinicians perceive beauty or aesthetics? Are they what's the change? Where are we now?
Look, I think that we are getting better at, and I'm going to put this in air quotes because listeners can't see me, but we're getting better at treating the patient holistically, in terms of their face holistically. However, I still don't believe that that's 100% the right way to go. I think holistically means, oh, yes, look, okay, so we'll look at the wrinkles around their eyes, we'll look at their frown wrinkles, we'll look at their lips, and then we'll do everything, we'll do a bit everywhere. Whereas I don't believe that that's the right way either. I believe that we have, because in theatre, in all pieces of art, music, stories, novels, anything, there's one main theme, there's one main focal point. All the other aspects, if you think about a beautiful picture that an artist has painted, there's one main focal point that artist wants the viewer to be drawn to. And they create that by shadow and light and colour and, you know, technique in terms of the brush and so forth. The face is no different. We have one main focal point that the rest of our features should be purely supporting. So say, for example, that's your eye color. And it's quite specific. It's not just your eyes. It'll be something about your eye color. It'll be what happens to your eyes when you smile. So that little kind of crinkle that is a beaut that is just gorgeous. Yes. And if we go removing that, then suddenly what I found with patients is that they no longer feel like themselves, and they no longer feel happy, and they don't feel like they look any better. So the idea is that we have one lead actor, which is your unique facial feature, and the rest of your facial features are simply there to support the lead actor.
Oh, wow. I really love that way of thinking. That's amazing. And it totally falls into the way of thinking of the artist. You know, that's exactly what happens when an artist, especially if a painter is, you know, producing a work of art and things like that. There is a focal point, and everything else around it is to that. That's just, I love that. I love the way that you've thought of that.
Well, if there's too much happening, think about it. If there's too much happening on a piece of artwork or in a movie, in a scene or a piece of theatre, if there's too much happening and all the characters, so to speak, all the features are vying for your attention,
yes,
we kind of close off and we go, oh, that's too much. We recoil. It's not a pleasant experience. So I'm pleading with clinicians to get better at identifying what the story of their patients' faces is.
I love that. And so how will you ease it through the book, the messaging's getting through?
So yeah, it is. It really is. And it's really good. I've actually released a second edition of the book with some tweaks and changes because there has been changes post COVID and so forth. So, and I released that at the end of last year, end of 2022.
Oh, congratulations. You are amazing. So I suppose in theatre terms, you're known as the triple threat, but instead of the singing, dancing and acting, you're the acting, writing, medical. Amazing.
Oh dear.
Such a talented person. You're just amazing.
But I used to do musical theatre, so I loved singing, dancing and acting. I was a triple threat.
You were a triple threat. Okay, somebody doled out too much talent in that drink.
No, they didn't. They actually didn't. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I'd be with Steven Spielberg somewhere in Hollywood, wouldn't I?
You never know.
True. Is that the phone ringing? Hang on a sec.
Take that call. You better take that call. But that's lovely. And it looks interesting that you've got that artistic bent as well as in that medical aesthetics. And, this is my fourth season of the podcast. And it's interesting how many plastic surgeons or dermatologists in the cosmetic space or nurse practitioners or aesthetic nurses, they do have that other side to them, whether it's music or dance or sculpting or something. It's that artistic bit that you bring to this area of medicine that I think everybody finds intriguing, which is amazing. Anita, it is amazing. So your practice, you're running your practice, you've got two daughters, you're doing all these things. So what does Anita East do to relax? Okay, that's a sign.
No, hang on. Well, I was just going to say then I write because I love to write, but then I'm doing a play at the end of the year. Okay, what do I do to relax? I love being outdoors. Yeah. And being outdoors is interesting, especially with the family. So with the hubby, two girls and the dog, because for me it's all about pointing out the beauty to everyone to the point where I know I'm very annoying and I'm saying, oh my gosh, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? The way that this does that. And then the light catches that leaf, you know, it's about, my daughters are 9 and 11 now. And it's, for me, it's about pointing out all the beautiful things to them, because I think the more they can appreciate how beautiful things are around them, the more they start to see beauty in themselves as well.
Oh, that is beautiful. And what an excellent perspective you're giving them for life, which is beautiful. And it just really warms my heart. I'm actually just reading Trent Dalton's book, The Love Stories, as well.
Oh, yes. I've read it. It's beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. It's COVID. It's love and beauty. Yeah. To me, I think that's just loving your philosophies. It's great. I'm going to have to listen. Do you have a podcast?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my gosh. What is it?
It's called Difficult Conversations About Beauty.
Oh, tell me about that.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm not in nearly as many seasons as you. I started it at the end of last year.
Fantastic.
So I speak to people about all sorts of things to do with beauty because there are lots of difficult conversations that we need to have about beauty. So my byline, if you like, is the good, the bad, and the ugly, because beauty is, you know, there's lots of things that we think we're going through alone, but we're actually, everyone is going through the same things. So anything that kind of piques my, you know what it's like when you've got to be interested in something to then present it well to the rest of the world. So it's anything that I'm kind of interested in. I'm a bit greedy in terms of I'm really interested in that. Can I have you on my podcast kind of thing? And I want to know more about it.
You've learnt out that why we make these podcasts.
Yeah, it's not for anyone else.
We're just truly interested in that ourselves and other people get to hear. I know.
That's right.
Well, we'll put that podcast, the link to that in your episode notes. Absolutely. And a link about your book, which will be fantastic. Anita, Oh, I'm so pleased we got to chat today. Now we're up to the part of the podcast, which is I call rapid fire questions. Mm-hmm. So three rapid fires coming. What business decision did you make that if you had your time again, you'd handle differently?
Oh, golly. Gee, I know this is rapid fire, and isn't this ironic that I actually can't, because I'm thinking of a few. Okay, it's probably, I'd say the first one is getting capital equipment in because I had FOMO.
So you overinvested in that area.
I overinvested and I don't think I chose the right piece of equipment. I'm thinking about one particular piece of capital equipment.
Yes.
Purely because someone said it's really good. I didn't want it. And it was the end of the financial year. There was a deal.
Always.
Oh, and I got it. And yeah, so that I'd say that's probably my worst.
Yeah. And it's, look, to be honest, working with so many practices, you see that a lot. And rather than thinking of where does this fit into my philosophy and what am I trying to achieve? Good one.
Yeah.
Who inspires you?
Oh, gosh. Do you know, I really, it's interesting because in my book I do talk about that we do need to, as a race, as the human race, we need to be led. And we like to look to people who are 1 to 2 steps ahead of us all the time. And I also talk about the fact that why don't you put yourself in that position? Why don't you put yourself 1 to 2 steps ahead? So instead of going, I just want to be like them. No. Why don't you be more like the person that you want to be like? So I suppose in keeping with that and in being honest and authentic to that, I inspire myself by allowing the ideas that come to me. So the things that I want to do.
Yeah.
The things that spark my joy, actually exploring those ideas.
Well done. It's, I suppose, what's inspiring you is courage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good on you. Well, that's obviously taking you to what you are and what you're doing, which is fantastic. I admire everything you've done. And finally, words of wisdom to your younger self.
Oh. Isn't it funny? Because straight away you think about physical appearance, don't you? You think about saying you were beautiful, even when you were sitting there going, I'm not beautiful enough, especially in the world of arts and entertainment when you are judged very, very much on the way you look. Okay, it would be, don't worry, take your time. You will get to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. And I can't say how much the same questions answered in very similar fashion with everybody who's experienced and just enjoy the journey.
And
don't sweat the small stuff. So
yes.
Hopefully younger people listening to this podcast will take that on board. But no,
it's fantastic.
Well, Anita, I can't thank you enough for your amazing stories and contributions. I'm very excited to meet you this week at the Non-Surgical Symposium.
I know.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I'll come and have a listen to your presentation.
So yes. Cool. Fantastic. I better finish writing it then, haven't I?
Yeah, get on to it. Don't get to practice my recording podcasts. Thanks, Anita. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Doctor Diaries. You can find out more about our amazing guests on our website, hanyaoversby.com.au, or join our Instagram page, Doctor Diaries Podcast, to find out more about our podcasts. We look forward to you joining us again.